día.
Amen.
Oh, wow, that was a good surprise. Blessings. Thank you so very much, everyone. And been getting lots of greetings from all over the world today. You know, it's been good. It's been good. And thank you so very much for celebrating it. Father, we are thankful for life, the life that you give. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, that we can celebrate that life. For, Lord, oh God, you make it meaningful. And, Lord, I want to thank you today for another beginning, another addition. And I thank you, Lord, oh God, that grace is sufficient for every single moment, and that your provision is extraordinary. Thank you, Lord, for the many surprises that you have in store. They are mighty, they are wonderful. And today, Lord, we will hear your word. And as we receive your word, may our lives forever be changed. May we experience the transformation that is possible because we have a new heart, even your heart. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight's Bible study is going to be from the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter. I believe we completed the first three verses last week. And so we'll pick it up from the fourth verse. Here it says, "A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue." What a powerful passage of scripture. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. That's powerful. A wicked doer giveth heed, listens to false lips, pays attention to it. Because he is trying to collect information to blackmail, backbite, gossip, and the slew of things. Because he's a wicked doer. Now, he's paying attention to false lips, which tells us that he knew from the very beginning that whatever information he's getting is not true. And he knows the person that is carrying that information to be a very untruthful person. So this is not just something that just happened. This is something that he already knows. So if I need something, some really juicy detail, I know it's not true, that I can use against such and such a person, who do I go to? Oh, that person. He knows there's a false slip, but he's wicked. He's a wicked doer. He practices wickedness. You see, false lips doesn't necessarily mean that everything that was said is altogether wrong. It's just a little tweak, just a little twist. You hear politicians sometimes talking, and you hear journalists that have a wicked twist, and they will twist whatever that politician said to mean something that that politician did not say. Lawyers do the same thing because they have a particular agenda. And God is warning us against things like this. Don't attach yourself with people that you know are blatant liars. They are tale bearers, the Bible tells us. A tale bearer. But too many times, what they have to say is exciting and juicy. What's the news alert? But you don't know that you're poisoning yourself. Because whatever it is that you're listening to, you're becoming part of. And ultimately, you become a wicked person. He says, and a liar. Give it ear to naughty tongue. Why? That's where he's getting his information from. He's a liar. And so he wants more information. And I remember many years ago, the Lord asking me about what was the greatest sin in the church? What was hurting the church the most? I wasn't too certain about it and must have come up with different answers. And the angel of the Lord that came with a message opened the scroll. I know I've told you this story before. Opened the scroll and I read gossip. Gossip. That was the last thing I would have thought about was hampering the church. Gossip. Tonight, before we close, we need to pray about these two things, or three things. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. That practice of wickedness, which is a form of witchcraft, that it ceases from the body of Christ. That's nothing that we practice. It should not be part of our lives. We are supposed to be people who proclaim the word of God, proclaim the goodness of God, bring healing and strength to people, not practitioners of evil who give heed to false lips, who are liars that give ear to a naughty tongue. That word, heva, naughty, it's a word that represents mischievousness, mischief. All it wants to do is create havoc, calamity, create confusion amongst people, bring ruin to lives. Just lies and lies and lies and lies and lies. This was what was utilized by the enemy to bring Jesus to the cross. Remember that? Yeah. Who were the wicked doers? The religious leaders of the day. They're looking for something juicy. Aha, we got it, we got it, we got it. Wickedness. That isn't what God has called us to. And we need to be careful what we're listening to, what we are paying attention to. Because whatever it is you're paying attention to ultimately is defining you as an individual that is defined as a wicked doer or a liar. Now, it is interesting that the next verse talks about mocking the poor. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Now we can see that verse by itself, and Proverbs is written that way. You know, it makes a point and then it goes to another point, and then it goes to another point, and then goes to another point. But at the same time, when you look at it holistically, it's still making the same point, but gravitating to another aspect of the point that was made previously. It may look unrelated, but it is related. So, understanding what we have embraced so far from the Word of God, looking at it from verse 1, when it says, it's better to have a dry muscle and quietness rather than be in a house full of sacrifices and strife. And we talked about that. We looked at the book of James, and we talked about the wisdom that is not from above. That is first earthly, then sensual, then devilish. And we talked about the fact that the Word of God is telling us that there is a wisdom which causes whatever it is that the person is doing to act in a very cunning way, flying under the radar, camouflaged, so that you're not very aware. They're smiling at you, but in their hearts, they're stabbing you every which way. Yeah? Well, that's how we started. He says, it's better for you to just have just some little piece of bread, little piece of meat, piece of whatever, than be in that place where there's dancing and celebrating, but they've got knives and forks and everything else ready to stab somebody. He says, stay away from that. Have the wisdom which is from above, which is first of all pure, that brings healing and hope and strength. Or the Lord will put it this way, the meek shall inherit. Amen? He says, be that wise servant who ends up having rule over the son. Because of meekness, you're wise, you're handling things, you're seeking the well-being of your boss and his family. He says you're going to end up inheriting. Allow yourself to go through this crucible of the refining fires of God, and where the silver is made pure and the gold is made pure, because God is trying the hearts, purpose to make certain that there's no wickedness there, that you're not living a lie. The worst lie you can live in is a lie that you lie to yourself. I don't know how many times I've met people, and it's whatever it is that they're doing, it's obvious that something is off and something is wrong, but they can't see it. They can't see it. They're defending whatever it is that they have their hands on, and you think, I'm perfectly okay, and I'm not wrong in this matter, and so on and so forth. But everybody else can see it. How do you get to that place? By hardening your heart. And I tell you what, I've seen this happen so many times. When you keep your heart hardened like that, it generates another level of sensitivity. This level of sensitivity is a sensitivity of feeling wronged, feeling wronged. So all of a sudden, the person who is busy doing whatever, holding grudges and all of that, after a while, it comes to a place while you harden your heart to people, you become, on the flip side, hypersensitive, looking at people, and everything people do becomes evil and wicked because you're always projecting. Are we together? Let me say something to you that you may not have considered. Do you know that trees grow in two directions? Just as much as a tree is growing up, it's also growing down. And life is like that. Whatever it is that you've seen on the surface, on the reverse, it's happening beneath. And sometimes, it is going down and down and down, and you've not seen much on top. This is going to catch up. This is going to catch up, but it's got to be rooted first. And when you start seeing things, I'm not talking about the fruit yet. I'm talking about the plant. When you start seeing things showing up in your life that look like the fruit that you have seen somewhere else, and the plant looks like that plant, deal with it. Because it will ultimately become that evil plant. You have to deal with it. You have to be true to yourself. You have to be true to yourself. Nobody falls suddenly. There is something that's already been happening that you've not been taking a hold of. So how does all of that bring us to this? Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. Well, if you've not dealt with this, which means that strife has caused you to be putting people down, then a level of pride has come because now you're going to be measuring yourself against others. I am better than this person. I am not like that person. And before you know it, it's not just I'm better than this person in the way I carry myself. It becomes I got this money, you got nothing. So you start building a strata of status where you start treating certain people certain ways and others other ways. That to God is an offense. Actually, he says, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. You reproaching God. Why is this poor person in my life? Why did I get to know this person? What can I do to make their lives different? That is what I need to do. In fact, the Word of God is going to tell us later that the one who takes care of the poor is lending to God. Yeah? That's the Word of God, right? Okay. So, when there's no strife, when your heart is pure, then you don't live in the place where you are a source of mockery, mocking, putting down somebody. Causing them to feel shame because you mock them. You're not helping them, you're mocking them. This is when you mock people because of wherever it is they are in life. You are reproaching God. If the first thing in the heart of God, yes, it is salvation. But if the Word of God says that the anointing was to preach the gospel to the poor, and that's the first thing he mentions, then our thoughts about the poor must change. If John the Baptist is doubting the Lord Jesus Christ, whether should I be expecting another? And the Lord tells him, sends a message back, telling the blind see and blah, 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 blah. And they are leaving, says, and by the way, tell him that the gospel is being preached to the poor. Then you must know that God is very interested in the issues of poor people. Yes, they may have gotten there because of whatever decisions they've made in life. May have made foolish decisions. But not everybody is there because of the foolish decisions they've made. You may have had more opportunities than them. Now, why don't you make room for the one that is in the dung, defeated, and do like what God's word says, that the person who has been down and out, he has now elevated and they are sitting with kings. I've seen some poor people that are really, really smart people. Just misfortune. What can I do to help that one? Is God calling me to mock them? Or is God calling me help them? Now, not everybody's helpable. That's not a real word, but because they'll continue to make wrong decisions. But what we're not called to do is mock them. What we're not called to do is shame them. He will not know the difference between what is good and what is not good. I just give him that. Did God call me to give junk to the poor? No. Because me giving junk to the poor is a form of mockery. It's a form of mockery. Think about it. If I have pants that I don't want anymore, but they are good pants, decent pants, just I've worn it. And I give it to a poor person, not as a source of or a pathway of mockery, but to cover their nakedness, I've done something good. But I have these pants and they are useless. They're no good. I know it. It's no good. What does he know? Give it to that poor guy. He's going to walk down the street with it and it's something. That's mockery. If it is junk, it's not meant to be given to anybody. You're not called to give junk to anybody. Because that's an act of mockery. And then it says, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. That's part of the poor. Person is doing okay, and now things gone sour for them, and you're celebrating it. I knew it. I knew it. This was going to happen. I knew it. You're celebrating it? God's word says you're not going to be unpunished. So you're celebrating another person's calamity. You have a taste of it. Let's see if this shoe fits and you like it. And it's so easy to fall into that place where we're celebrating the pain of other people. The Word of God teaches us against that. In fact, what God's word says is this, that if somebody's going through a crisis and they deserve it, it's a punishment from God, and you start jumping and celebrating that punishment, God will immediately stop. So I'll stop and I'll turn against you. Because it does not please God to punish people. That's the last resort. He is long-suffering. Yeah? So when somebody's going through something like this, what do? God, reveal to him or reveal to her what he needs to do to experience mercy. They deserve the punishment. You know it, they know it. But they need to repent so that mercy can be extended to them. They need to cry out to God for mercy so that forgiveness can be extended to them. But you've not done that, you've not prayed that. You're shouting hallelujah. I say, okay. Since you like that, you have a taste of it. He that is glad at calamities is always celebrating other people's pain and failures. You shall not be unpunished. It's a lesson. It stands by itself. Stop celebrating other people's calamities. You know the amazing thing about it all? You gain nothing from it. You gain absolutely nothing from it. Let's say there's a minister or a church is going through some major crisis, whatever the crisis is. They're going through it over there down the street. And you're celebrating their failure. You think all of those people in that church are going to come to your church? Do you know how many of them are going to fall off and not ever step into another church? You're celebrating what? Or does it behoove us to go alongside and say, how can I help bring about restoration? God, what can be done here? Yeah, there might be changes that need to take place. There might be certain things that need to be removed or whatever, but you don't go celebrating other people's pain, other people's calamities. Because that, if that's the seed that you sow, sooner or later, you're going to reap that same harvest. Goes for it. Somebody's marriage is falling apart. So you think that guy is going to become your husband now, or that lady is going to become your wife now? His children are going to be yours now? Well, what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? See, when we celebrate like that, we never find solutions to bring wholeness to that person who's experiencing that kind of poverty or lack. That is not our calling. Our calling is not to celebrate other people's demise. Our calling is to celebrate the goodness of God. Thank God for the victory. Thank God for the blessing. Thank God for His goodness. But Lord, I know it doesn't please you that this person is going through this right now. They're going through so much pain right now. How can I be of help? Is there anything you need me to do? How can I be your hand? How can I be your voice? How can I be your ear? How can I be of help? God looks at that and promotes you, because He knows that you are there as a conduit of healing and restoration. You're not there about yourself, you're about the kingdom of God. Kingdom mentality must be the mentality that we carry as believers. No denomination is going to populate heaven. Only believers. Yeah? Only believers. So it doesn't matter whether you're Anglican, Catholic, Lutheran, whatever. You might be surprised you find some Jehovah's Witnesses there. Because it's not their false doctrine or whatever that saves them. Do they believe in Jesus? That's the important thing. You might be surprised to find some people that are Mormons. You're busy judging. Stay at it. It's about Jesus Christ. Now, whether you believe we should do sprinkling, or we dunk, or we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or in Jesus' name, and you're spending your time fighting about that. Help yourself. Help yourself. The things that we fight about mean nothing. Nothing. They are so peripheral. It's not that doctrines are not important. That's important. It determines a great deal on how you carry yourself in the Lord. But salvation is based on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior, period. Every other thing is noise. Tell you what, they are persecuting everybody. And you find a Jehovah Witness. You don't agree with him doctrinally, but you find each other. Tell you what you're going to do. It's just like we used to do many years ago when we first came. In the 80s, there were very few blacks in this city. If I saw a black person, hello, brother. What country did he come from? Who knows? I don't care. It's my brother. It's my brother. He might have been from Malawi, from Mozambique, from Ghana, from wherever. I don't care. Maybe he's from Haiti or Jamaica. I don't care. That's a black brother. It's just a handful of us around here. Hello, brother. I'll run after him. Hi, brother. How are you? When did you come? Well, the time is going to come that you're not going to care whether the person is Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, or rosaries. You care less about rosaries just to know that you've got somebody who believes in Jesus. You think the government or anybody else cares whether you're Lutheran or Roman Catholic? Do they care about that? Absolutely not. All of us are blocked together as Christians. And persecution is coming. If you don't know it now. It's coming. So we better begin to learn how to team together. Because if we don't, and we're celebrating the fall of others, we are splintered all over the place. And what the world wants is to divide and conquer. What the world wants is to do verse 4. A wicked doer gives heed to false lips. That's exactly what's happening. That's what's going to happen. It's already happening. And we need to stand together in agreement and not mock people, look at that church over there. They have nothing. How many people there? 5 people. Oh. No anointing. Really? No anointing. Jesus was not anointed. He wasn't. Because if he was really anointed, when he was at the cross, there'll be thousands of people there crying for him. Don't you think? He had one, and the one was there because he was a relative. He preaches one message and thousands leave him and he's left with 12. Oh, you've lost your anointing, Jesus. He used to have it. You know, when John the Baptist first had contact with you, you had the anointing then. When you went out to the wilderness, you had the anointing. But now, you lost it. If you were only anointed, you will have 20,000 people in your church. And we mock. I remember a dear brother. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. He was pastoring with his father in Selkirk. And then there was a church on St. Mary's. There's a pastor there, that pastor, I don't know what happened to him, and he started pastoring that church. It was called Springs. That young man moved from there and went to Transcona Golf Club. I think he was still at Transcona Golf Club. I'm here in church. I think we still have the projector. Old projectors. He brought me a gift. Used to have one of these overhead. We need to bring that thing out one of these days. You know, it has, oh my Lord. I have the resources. I can help my brother. And it brought me a nice projector. I didn't ask for it. My brother and my friend brought me that projector, handed it over. This is for you. I said, where's from Pastor Leon? Pastor Leon gave me a projector. What? I cannot forget that. If you were to ask, if he were still alive and you asked him, Pastor Leon, do you remember giving Pastor Zeno a projector? He might say, I don't remember. I don't think I remember that. Did I? Yes, you did. I say that because there's so many times that I've given stuff to people, I've done things for people, and I don't remember it. But they still remember it like it happened yesterday. And I learned something. The receiver always remembers. When you give and you want people to owe you because you gave, you will always remember that you gave somebody something and they did not match up and do something for you too. But when you're giving out of a pure heart, just as quickly as you gave it, you forget about it. Just like you put a seed in the ground and you cover it and you no longer see it. Until the harvest. That's how it is. But when you mock the poor, you always remind them. Remember? Remember you ingrate. You. They owe you now. They owe you now. That's mocking. It's mocking. Let me leave that alone. Because that particular verse has so many tentacles. It goes all over the place. Verse 6 is, children's children are the crown of old men. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. How powerful. Children's children. As who? Who is that? Grandchildren. I wonder what great-grandchildren are. There's a double crown. There's a crown with all kinds of jewels on it. But that's the crown of old men. In a sense, when you see a man who has children, as his children has children, give them the respect that is due them. Honor them. Because that's a crown on them. That's a grace on that life. You see, especially in the day and time that we live in, where people are looking for children, and they're doing everything to get one, and you get one, thank God. I'll talk about when you get one, and that one gets one. It's a crown. But I also see in this verse something. It's a crown of old men. That says something. That sometimes children don't come that easy. Sometimes you have to be old before you see children's children. It doesn't say that the children's children have to be adults. If you have a child that has a child and that child is one day old, that's a crown also. It doesn't matter whether it's one day old or a year old or 50 years old. But celebrate continuity. And then it says, the glory of children are their fathers. Just like the crown of the father is the children, the glory of the children, which is a crown also, are their fathers. In essence, God is saying, I want you to bring honor to each other. Children, bring honor to your father. And fathers, bring honor to your children. The pursuit is to bring restoration, glory. And glory is not just a halo. Glory are resources. So the glory of children are their fathers. The word of God says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. Yeah? That's a promise. And we can lay hold of that to the claim of being good men, because we have the gift of God's grace upon our lives, calling us to be righteous. And say, God, bless me for my children. Oh God, bless me for my children. You know, I used to query a prayer that, I'll say Nigerians pray this prayer. You know, they have, let's say sibling has a need and you give them something. They will pray a prayer like, God bless you for me. Oh, God bless. Bless him for me. Bless him for me. And I used to think wrongly and say, what do you mean, God bless me for you? Am I your source that you're praying, and God bless me? What about God blessing you? Well, it's a wrong way of thinking about it. God bless you for me. When you are thinking as a mocker, you're thinking they're praying for you to be blessed so that you can keep on meeting their needs. But flip it, that they're praying, God bless you because you have been a blessing to me. That's really the intent of the prayer. It just sounded odd. But a good prayer is for you to pray for your destiny helpers. Because if your destiny helper has problems and is preoccupied with their problems, they won't have the mind to help you. So when we are praying, God, do something in my life, we should also be praying for those that God may use to be that blessing in our lives. God, remove every issue, every challenge in the pathway of the ones that you have chosen to be of help to me, that they will be able to help me. And remove every problem and every challenge from me so that I can be of help to those that you've ordained for me to be of help to. Everybody is called to help somebody. Let me say that again. Everybody is called to help somebody. I'll say it a third time. Everybody is called to help somebody. And let your children become that crown. And let you as a father become the glory of your children. Amen. And all hooked up to the center point about mocking. Because you can see somebody that doesn't have children. Say, he doesn't have a future. He has no legacy. He has no this. I got this. You got nothing. That's what Penina was doing to Hannah. Until Hannah, who was really the first wife, had her own children. And tradition tells us that for every child that Hannah had, Penina lost one. So while Hannah got all her children, Penina became childless. That's a rough one. And it goes back that the one who celebrates the calamities of, let's look at it again. Five. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Penina lost all of her children. And Hannah, the one that was barren, and the word of God says she was barren because God closed her womb. God shut her down from having just children. He said, God won't do such a thing. I tell you what, you don't know what God can do or why God does what he does. And that's why you don't need to put your mouth into every issue. Sometimes you just keep your mouth shut and just pray for mercy. Because you might be backing up the wrong tree. In life, take it easy. That's the point of this particular chapter. Take it easy. Stop talking trash, nonsense. Stop saying what you don't know. That's false lips. You're going to be creating a world of confusion. Just I don't know. I don't know why this is happening, but I cry out for mercy. Or something must be wrong. There's got to be something wrong with that business. Somebody's doing something wrong in that business. That's why that business is not successful. That's why that church is not successful. That's why that marriage is not successful. That's why they are barren. That's why it is that. Hush. You know nothing. You don't know. So stop speaking about what you know nothing about. Oh, she's barren. She can't have any children. Don't you see the way she dresses? Look, just look at her. Look at her. She must have had at least 20 abortions. That's why. That's why. Yeah. She's now a Christian. Look at how she's still dressing. Do you know how she was dressing before she became a believer? That's a problem. That's it. So you know this. And you know this how? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us not to be mockers. Help us not to be talebearers. Help us not to choose unrighteousness. Help us. Forgive, cleanse, redeem, sanctify us as your people today. Wherever we've gone wrong, we ask God for grace and mercy. Be applied. So, Lord, O God, that we are not a people that are exposed to calamities. In any way, shape, or form, Lord, O God, that we've threaded in the wrong direction, we ask, O God, for a turnaround. We ask, O God, for crop failures, for words and thoughts and actions and attitudes that we've displayed. We ask, O God, for mercy. Deliver us, your people, from the spirit of gossip, the wicked spirit of backbiting, the spirit, O God, of lying, false lips, the promotion of that which is ungodly and dishonorable. Let every thought we think, every action we take, bring glory to you. And Lord, O God, today we ask that our lives not give room for talebearers to spin up stories that are dishonorable. Lord Jesus, you said that the prince of this world is coming. Can't find anything in me. So let it be. So let it be. For us as your people. And when the enemy comes looking, he finds nothing to hold on to, because we have your heart, we have your mind, we walk the walk, even the walk of faith. Bless us, Father, and cause us to be a blessing. Let nothing that we go through give license to the enemy to celebrate. In the mighty name of Jesus, Thank you, Lord, O God, that calamity befalls those, O God, that plant that, for they will not be unpunished. But we ask, O God, that when those things happen, that we do not jump in celebration, but Lord, O God, seek a way to bring those ones through the pathway of repentance, that they may obtain mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus, demolish the strongholds of the enemy and establish your will in our lives, Father. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, bless you for coming. Thank God for his grace.